We are on page Chof Hey. Okay, what I did was, if you notice on the next page, I took four pages and I put it in one. Okay, every page was very short, so it says Pnei Halacha four times. I took four pages and I combined them into one page. So no one should say that I don't care about the environment. Oh, he's telling me, if I care the environment, I should put it on the back. I should two-sided. Okay, you got me. Got you. Okay. So let's start. These are some easy topics. Topic number one is Mosai Liyeh Akum Bar Mitzvah. When does a guy become a bar mitzvah? A guy is chayv in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. At what point in his life does he become chayv in Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? Kosef HaRosh B'Shuvah Shesha'alta. The question that you have asked me, someone posed the following question to the Rosh. How do you know this? Where do you know this concept that 13 years in one day is when a person is held accountable for his averos? In the Olam HaEmes, we have a tradition after 13 years in one day, a person will be held accountable for an avera he has done. But under the age of 13 years in one day, he's off the hook. Could you imagine such a thing? That's a very big achrayus for a child to realize. Child, there's no appreciation of that idea. That yesterday, if you did an avera in the Olam HaEmes, they're not going to hold you accountable. Today, you do an avera, they're going to hold you accountable. And for that, we're going to make a party. We're going to make a party, that's your rite of passage. Da. So he says something which all the commentators say, that this idea is nothing other than a halacha lemoshe misinai. You're not going to find a source for this idea in the Torah. Daki halacha lemoshe misinai hu hu bichlal shiurin chatzitzin umechitzin shehein halacha lemoshe misinai v'shiur v'kitzva l'chol dover nosan lemoshe balpeh. All of the various measurements, a kezayis, a kebeitza, a kegregeris, Akechosev Sagasa, 40 Safra Mikvah, all of these concepts of Shi'urin are all halacha lemoshe misinai. And included in that collection is the concept of 13 years in one day. Period.
How's a guy supposed to know that?
No, that's a Jew. No, we've not yet got to a guy.
How's a guy supposed to know halacha lemoshe misinai?
He's told. We're assuming that the guy are living, the Jews tell him. We're discussing an ideal environment. We're dealing with an Eretz Yisrael that is controlled by a melech, and the non-Jews living in the Eretz Yisrael, for that matter, living in the entire world, they seek knowledge. They seek knowledge and guidance from Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael tells them.
They never did.
They did. The time of Shlomo HaMelech, and the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they did. And it's not so. There are goyim that are maminim, and they do seek guidance from Klal Yisrael.
I have in my shul. Yeah.
Okay. L'chein therefore ze l'fi ze kosaf ha-chasam sofer he-yoyis ve-halochay she-nimsu l'moshe b'sinai nimsu rak li-Yisrael. So here is something very interesting. Okay, these are very, very powerful Yisoydas. L'chein therefore, I really believe that this Pnimei Halach is one of a kind. I really think that you cannot get such a collection of Yidiyos with lomdus, the combination. I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you find this to be very, this is a rare treasure, the Pnimei Halacha, how they put together all of these Yidiyos. L'fi ze, kosaf ha-chasam sofer, ha-yois, being, the halacha is shenim shu l'moshe misinai nim shu rak li Yisrael nim so shirak bi Yisrael zman hagadlus v'achtiv b'mitzvos hu b'shnas hayad gimel. So he says as follows: since halacha l'moshe misinai was only transmitted to Klal Yisrael, there is no such thing as becoming a bar mitzvah for a non-Jew. Ulam akum. So what does this mean then? Akum af koydim zman ze kol shesichloi sholem kiroi harei chayi b'sheva mitzvos b'noyach v'chol shen sichloi sholem ein nepatur el. So he says here, Dr. Fuchter. So he says over here a tremendous chiddush, that when it comes to a non-Jew is chayiv in the sheva mitzvos when his knowledge, his mind develops. And what age is that? That it can depend. It can be the year as 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old. Every child is different. There is no specific cutoff point. It all depends on their degree of maturity. Period. Omnam, ye shehikshu in kain madua hutsuchu besugin lumoy shakam mufla hasamach leish yachol linda. So the difficulty with this chasam sefer is the daf yomi here at the end of sechta nazir, even though already the oilam is learning sechta seita, today's already daf gimel of seita, is that correct?
Yes.
Today's daf gimel of seita, so we're a little bit behind. Okay, I want to finish up with nazir. I think we've done almost all the things in this volume. But he writes over here that we have the Gemara over here talks about the Gemara as a drasha. The Gemara as a drasha, an extra word ish to teach you that a guy can become a nazir. She'akum mufla hasamach leish, that a non-Jew who's 12 years old can become a nazir. Yochel can make, I'm sorry, can make a neder. Yochel can make a neder. Now that means so why, we have a special pasuk to teach us even when he's not yet bar mitzvah, when he's 12 years old, he can make a neder. Why do I need a special pasuk to tell him that he can make a neder when he's 12 years old? There's no such thing as a mufla, even when he is as long when once a non-Jew already achieves a degree of maturity that he understands what he's doing, he's chayiv min haTorah. So that's automatically included in. Once we know that a guy can make a neder, he can make a neder when he's 12 years old, because that's already the time when he's what we would call a bar mitzvah. So we should not need a special pasuk. So the question over here from the Gemara Tzmash, that a non-Jew becomes bar mitzvah at the same age as a Jew at 13 years in one day, and that is why we need a special pasuk to tell us that a non-Jew can make a neder when he's even 12 years old. Because if a non-Jew will become bar mitzvah when he's 12 years in one day, once we already know that a non-Jew can make a neder, we would automatically know that he can make a neder when he's 12 years old. Liyashev kushi zok kosa chasam sefer. So chasam sefer is aware of this difficulty, and he writes shebevada kol hadinim hanoigim benoyach v'chol anyonim ein makom l'shiurim v'chnim shul lishol sharei shiurim elu l'nim shul l'vnei noyach. I maintain my position. A guy becomes bar mitzvah even when he's younger, when he understands. Ulam, however, there's an exception. The exception is nidorim. Ulam b'nogel l'nidim. The fascinating chiddush is that there's one exception to the rule, and the only exception is making vows. Making vows, since primarily that is a mitzvah that applies to a Jew, that's not a mitzvah that applies to a non-Jew. The sheva mitzvahs bnei noach were custom-made for non-Jews. They have been crafted, designed for non-Jews. And therefore, it starts when they achieve maturity. But the mitzvah of Nidarim was never crafted for them. It was crafted for Jews. We just know through back channels that they also, if they wish, can be make for themselves a neder and a nedava. Therefore, since they are coming to borrow, they're coming to enter into the world of Judaism, when they make a vow, they have to follow the rules and regulations that apply to Jews, which means 13 years old. And now we have another drasha which will bring it down even to 12 years old. So this is going to be an exception to the rule.
That's what you say. No
Jew,
Nidarim,
the Dabbas,
Ki Yisrael.
Ki Yisrael. Like a Yisrael. So this is an exception to Shemitzah. Ki Yisrael. Something similar. Kasa B'shut Shol Meshiv. V'Imre Rav Yaakov They're punished for a mitzvah noach even the same yisod under the age of 13. Wait, what is going on here? I think I made a mistake here. Ulam biyaris tavash. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Ulam biyaris tavash kasa b'shem emshay shizman galus benayachu miben es shemu ma'ala. 20 years old. So we have a machlokes apayskim. When does a non-Jew become bar mitzvah? So bottom line is, he according to one opinion, the Shalomitzer says when they have enough intellect and maturity, mental maturity, can be very, very young. However, he brings down from the Yaris Tavash, in the Shem Medrash, a guy becomes bar mitzvah when he's 20 years old. Das dea noisefes, nemer beinyin zeshagam beakum zmanagalus hu ben yoso ben yud gimul shana. Who says this? Ve'ayin besefer mishnas Rebbe Aaron, Sheikh Bezev Aaron Cutler, who elaborates upon this idea. Ve'ayin dechalkas yoyev, beshut manachnechaim, besef beris halevi, shashol masher kos, svu beinyin ze. Okay, so we have over here, Psach HaKol, he presents three opinions. Either
intellect, 20 years old, 13 years old, and even those who hold that a guy becomes a bar mitzvah when he has intellect or becomes when he's 20 years old, there's an exception to the rule, and that is in the case of a nidarim and a davais.
So it seems now that we are doing shiur by guys. We're saying 13, 20, this, that's a shiur.
13.
There should be no
shiur by
that it should.
So those opinions disagree. They disagree. They hold that maybe it's all nichal. Maybe nechnami. They do disagree. Okay. So that is first hisa. Next hisaid. Hakpodas poil shelo levatel nimeleches balabayis. A worker the unethical. To quit the job in the middle is something, or let's see what it says. A worker is not allowed to fast. He's not allowed to afflict himself because he's not going to be healthy to do work. He's not allowed to do the melacha at night and to hire himself out by day because then he's not going to be awake. If he's going to moonlighting, doctor does. They do moonlighting. So when they do moonlighting, they're not at their best when they do their day job. Cops do moonlighting.
Yeah, they can be
private security firms.
Firemen.
They like to
firemen.
What do they do?
Firemen that used to teach in public school. They used to sub, and they serve as substitute teachers. They work out their schedule. In the fire department, they had seniority, so they were able to work it out.
Okay, so...
So you have Arab workers in Israel, and they're fasting for Ramadan.
So that's all part. It's all part of the issue.
Yes.
A person is not allowed because by doing these things, you're not giving your job. You're not at your best. And when it comes to rebbeim, I know one yeshiva where they used to. I think they already stopped because the rebbeim need parnasa. They used to insist that the rebbeim do not take second jobs. They want the rebbeim to devote their entire day to the talmidim. And that means at night they should not join a night kollel. They should not go and teach courses in another yeshiva. And they agreed to pay them more money. They didn't pay them the full salary or what they would get otherwise, but they wanted they should spend their time preparing lessons or resting or just making sure that they do their regular job at their best. Let's see. But I think in that yeshiva they also stop because they're obeying also. They need to make parnas also. Okay, so over here it says over here all of these things cannot be done. That's what it says in the Gemara that an poil worker is now to make a neder or to mekabel nezirus because if a person becomes a nazir, so then he's not going to eat well. Tam chazal, if you don't drink wine, you're not in good health. Obviously, that's not so today, but in time of Chazal, this was a given. So, if a person becomes a nazir, you are affecting your employer, and you're not allowed to be religious on the account of your employer. Berambam posak kiderech shemusar balabai shlo yigzol schar oni. Just like the balabai is not allowed to deny wages to the poor man, v'lo yakvenu, he's not allowed to hold back. Kach oni musar shlo yigzol meleches balabais v'yivatel naat bekan. Umaat bekan, a little bit here, a little bit here. Umotzi kolion b'mirma, and deceit and trick their employer. El chayv ledaktik alatzme bezman shaharei hikpidu al bracha al bracha reviyish lebrachas amazon. I'll prove it to you. Chazal did not even allow a worker to recite the fourth blessing in birchas amazon because you're taking away time from your balabais. That's how far Chazal went. Don't recite the full birchas amazon in order that you work for your balabais. Shloi birchas v'chein chayv la. He said to Rachel and Leah, I have worked for your father with all of my koyach. That's mamash what we learned today in Koheles. Exactly what we learned there. Lefichach notal schazos afel mazel shenemar vayifot soish b'mod mod. So he's saying the Rambam says something very, very, very fascinating. The reason why Yaakov Avinu was zoicha to ashiros, to incredible wealth, vayifot soish Ma'od Ma'od was because he was honest. He worked for his father-in-law. He gave it all he got. Because he gave it all he got, he gave love and the great deceiver all he got. Hashem took note, and Hashem rewarded Yaakov Avinu that he made it big. That's a shocking thing. Who would say that? You need a Rambam to tell you such a chiddush. Baruch Hashulchan Kasev Shkol Zeb Poil Anz. All applies to a worker. Ach. Let's say you are not a worker, you are a contractor. So results count.
It was
a poil. 6 years. That's what it seems to say. It's by the day. It seemed. I don't know. He worked. It was an arrangement to work for him for 14 years. 7-7, and then to another 20, and then another 14 years. So he says a chiddush. Okay, Aruch HaShulchan says this halacha that you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to be a nazir, you have to eat well, you're not allowed to do moonlighting. All of these limitations only apply to when you are sechir yom. I'm being paid by the hour. When I am being paid for my labor, I have to be at my best. But if you're not being paid for the labor, you are being paid for results. I'm giving you an object. I want you to install a boiler. I'm not paying you for your time. I'm paying you for the result.
That was Yaakov. Yaakov got the boiler, he was commissioned. Piece work.
I don't know. It's not clear. It's not clear exactly what he was. When you're not being paid by you, when you're being paid for results, then the rules are different. Okay, let's see. The next halacha. Okay, so that's okay. So we already learned two things. We learned about a bar mitzvah by a non-Jew, and we learned about the hakpad that a poil is not allowed to fast and afflict himself at the expense of his employer. Next halacha, nitilas ha'efer shesaviv hanes be'es pinuyoy. When they reinter a dead body, how much earth?
Reinter.
When they reinter a body, they take from Chutz Li'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or for whatever reason, they move him from one location to another location. So the question is, how much earth do you have to take with the body? Because we assume that the body has decayed, and some of the dust of the body has been absorbed into the surrounding soil. So how much must be removed? A small clump of earth that surrounds the body must be taken with the body itself. Kolaymar in her offer shesavu lemeitz. Period. The Gemara, the Danu Kama offered tzoch lekachas. The Gemara is a discussion. Betam halacha zon nechluku harishem. There's a machlokes. What the reason is? Yesh ayim. Some say sheheyoyis niyitachin shebeifer shemisavu lemeitz. Yesh sheoffer shemibisaviv lemeitz. Yesh sheerius dam. There is some residual blood, aylecha or moisture, uchadoma mehames, al kene from Hashem kavoda yesh little gam es offer ze. The yesh shebiaro shein ze mishum kavod hames, ella kadesh sheyuchlu lasoiz bekargazu betaharos shalo yechshash tuma. Has nothing to do with the dead body. It has to do that this location should now be cleansed. In other words, that this location is now tar. There's no, because if you don't take.
Same thing.
I don't know. It's a different angle, right? Is it exactly the same? It seems like there may be enough to mean. It may be that as far as you don't have to take the dam and the lecha, the covet of the mace, bearing this concept that a person has to be buried does not include every mashu of blood. I know today you hear Rachman Litzlan, Zaka, they go on scene and they clean up every particle of blood. Okay, but Meikar Hadin, that's a chumrah. It appears that Meikar Hadin, a person is buried to fulfill Kavuras Hames, doesn't mean you take every particle of the person. No one saves every bandage they ever had their whole life to be buried with them. It's ridiculous. So as far as reinterring the dead, you don't have to go take every particle, every molecule of the person and rebury it. But when it comes to Toma, if you leave over something, there may still be some residual degree of Toma.
You gotta leave a shear.
So what is the shear? Okay, so Ayin Echanami, so what's the Nafkamina? I don't know the Nafkamina, but it's a different, like I said, it's a different angle of looking what it, we have to struggle to find a Nafkamina. But it appears if there is a Nafkamina, it's not explaining what exact Nafkamina will be, but it appears there will be a Nafkamina. Din Zehuva Barambam Ulam. B'shulchan Aruch lo yuhuskar ha-mechaber zedidzeh. The Rambam quotes this halacha. You have to take tifus sasai. Yet in Shulchan Aruch it's not mentioned. In the Sefer Echshai, Be'er shedidzeh nema rak mishum inyan taharais. So this is an incredible chiddush. The reason why Shulchan Aruch did not quote the Rambam is because the Rambam writes things that are not nagei halacha l'maisa. The Rambam writes things that nagei when there's a beis hamikdash. And since the Shulchan Aruch is only recording things that nagei in galus and close to the aretz, so there's no inyan of taharais anyway. Anyway, bizmanas are all tamei neis. So it doesn't make a difference. So that is why in Shulchan Aruch it's not brought.
Wouldn't you have to take
the Tifusasa? Tifusasa, because we assume we would Tifusasa. You don't have to take Tifusasa. Okay, so he's saying the Nafkamina is that you don't have to take Tifusasa. It's only Mishum of Tahara. You don't need to take Tifusasa. So you can leave over some blood, you can leave over some Lecha. It's not part of Kavura Semes. When the body is reinterred, you can leave it over because, as far as Tahara is concerned, there's no Tahara anywhere. Bizman Azeh. Beshud Igus Moshe. Kosav Shayos Shadin Zed Lehuska Beshulchan Aruch Vechain Lehuska Beshus HaAchroinim Binoy De Bihudi Vechasam Sefer Hamadam Bimilyon Meila, who speak about these in Yonim. It's very interesting what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe holds that Binoy De Bihudi Vechasam Sefer, Rav Moshe only studied certain Rishonim. Rav Moshe was very machmir. Rav Moshe was not like, you know, in this day and age, you go into the swarm store, they have now for you, you learn Yeshiv Boy, they have, you don't just learn the Rashba and the Ritva and the Meiri, you have over here all of these new Rishonim no one ever heard of before. New Rishonim, you never heard of before. They have Kisvei Yad, and they have a collection of these obscure Rishonim. And today it's become very popular. They publish and everyone learns it. Rav Moshe was against this. Rav Moshe had on his table the classics, whatever the classics were, and he did not look at other Rishonim. And when they came out, they have a new Kisvei Yad. Masada Rav Kook published a Kisvei Yad from a Rishonim, from a Kadmon. Rav Moshe wasn't excited about it. He didn't even look at it. And it came to Achronim. He was very select. Which Achronim did he take into consideration to paskin to use in his deliberations in the Igros Moshe? So it's interesting over here, he writes exactly what he's using. He holds on the Nedim Yehuda and holds on the Chassam Sefer. These are critical in using in what we use for Hamadar Ben Yon Mo'ela. Ach, Kalkin Ledina, Ein Etzach, Litol, Ela Mashem, Moitzin, Me'atzemos Levad. Incredible Chiddush. Lach Lamais, this is Nogim, Mais Nechol Yom. Bodies are reinterred for different reasons. Rav Moshe paskins, you do not have to take Tifus Asai. They only take, you have to ask the Chevrik Nish what they do. What exactly they do, how they do this. But it seems they only take the skeleton, or the body, whatever the body did not take, but they do not take Tifus Asai, clumps of earth. Oh, you'll tell me, but it says in the Gemara Masechta Nazir that you spoke to take Tifus Asai. It says in the Rambam, here the Rambam and the Gemara were referring to Taharas. We don't want to leave over a piece of land that is Tomei.
It's not clear at all if that applies to Kuzla.
In Chutzar, it's Eretz Amim, it's anyway Mitane. Right. So it's not again in Chutz the Eretz. So therefore, it's not again.
Even the halachos in the Gemara wouldn't be
okay. Right, because that's only if you hold because of Taharas. But if you hold like the Rishonim, that's the reason why you take Tifusasa is because of Kvuras Hanais, so then you have to fully bury the body in a new location, you need to take Tifusasa, you have to take the Lecha and the Dam. Uveshut Mahariyaz, Mahariyaz Engel. Kid Mahariyaz, what's the Rosh Hashanah Mahariyaz angle? Anyone know? The Mahariyaz angle? Kosav Shadin Shadin Ze Einreg Ela Bi'eretz Yisroel V'loi B'chutz Li'aretz. Another angle. The Ulam B'shut Maharsham, still it's the same idea because in Eretz Yisroel is Taharis, but in Chutz Li'aretz, in Chutz Li'aretz we're not going to Tahar.
You want to make
it Tahar. You want it to be a land that's Tahar. Maharsham, we don't care. Ulam B'shut Maharsham, Kosav Shnatil Svisatil Sanez, Hu Nesh Kvar. Now look at this, he has a new Svara. Shekvar Zocha boy hanes mitchila, because the nes was already zoich in that earth. It already became a chilik of the nes. The nesar ha ofar v'loy poka isuro. It's osa behana. That offer is also behana. It's already a chiluk of the neis. It doesn't say it's not because of dam and lecha. It's not of tahara. It's this is my mokim. A person that's buried is toifes a certain mokim. That mokim is my mokim. That mokim becomes also behana. So you can't leave it over. You can't leave it over. You're going to now use that mokim for someone else. That offer you're being nana. You're using isuri hana. It's also behana. And therefore you have
you use the offer anyway. Put someone out.
You'll put another body there.
No, you don't do that.
Why don't they don't do that? What?
You never bury somebody was buried before.
They don't? In the cemetery they don't do that?
No.
When they reinter people in these cemeteries?
No. When they disinter, that space stays empty.
That space is not sold.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Why? Okay, so maybe, but here he's talking only about that actual earth.
Well, of course, when you bought the plot, you still own the plot.
No.
So let's say you would allow someone else to be buried, you would sell it.
Not a family member.
So you're saying that you can't even sell it.
You're not supposed to do that, but that's for other reasons, perhaps. But in general, maybe that's the reason.
Well, then it's...
It's you.
It's also Bahana.
Yeah.
Next to the bottom, tzarach little tefusasa v'rak kishiyavsher hariza kidiyavet v'dinze in elu lechatchila kamokin bechazoin ish nokad gam sheyesh little tefusasa meis gam bizman hazeh. So look at the chazoin ish says that you should take the tefusasa meis, not like Rav Moshe. The ayin b'shut dvar malkiel b'tshuvus agoin. I don't know who this is. Shabbosif Sefer should have a Syor, but Sefer Chaim Brocha should through the Eish Masha Kosu bin Nazeh. Okay, so we take it out of this, as it appears to be Machlekes Apoiskim is Manazeh when the body is reinterred, if they take Tefusasai. It will be interesting to get here someone from the Chevre Kadisha can tell us exactly what the common custom is when they do this. Okay, last halacha.
Our zone.
I wasn't there that day. His session I missed. I missed his session. My brother got married in Eretz Yisrael when he gave his session. That was also they told me that.
His specialty,
of course. Yeah.
Go to him.
He's the mumcha on this.
Amazon
from Queens, right? He's in Queens?
What?
He's in Queens? He lives in Queens, yeah. He's the mumcha. Okay, last halacha, one more halacha. Sefer Torah shenim sabo gimel ti uyois. Three mistakes. Harashba b'tshuva posak she sefer Torah shenim sabo shalosh oy arba ti uyois also likros bo ad she yagihu oy so, until you recheck the entire sefer Torah. If you're learning on Shabbos or multiple Shabbosos and you come across three or four spelling mistakes, so it says that you're no longer allowed to learn from this sefer Torah until you get it checked from beginning to end. On one amud? That's what it says?
Well, I don't know what it says.
Okay.
Here, but that's
generally, I have one amud. Okay. Also, Likro is also ki gvar chuchsa kemuta b'sholosh pamim v'huva kin la'alocha b'beis Yosef sholtzburden shochon arach. Period. B'pischei teshuva kosa b'shem habenei yoyna she'im liyacha she'em motzo'o bo to'os achas tiknuhu. Let's say we fix it. One mistake has been fixed. Miyad. The achar kach motzo bo tol shniya, the tiknuhu, the shuv nimseis bo tol shlishes, ein tzarach lagia es kol ha-sefer. You no longer have three. He's saying chiddush that as long as you don't have three in one shot, the only time you have to check the entire sefer was when you have in front of you three mistakes. But if you've already corrected one mistake and then you corrected the second mistake, so right now I only have in front of me one mistake. I do not need to check the entire sefer Torah. Yeah. No, absolutely not. So maybe they didn't correct it. Maybe for whatever reason. So I don't know how it has. How then did it happen that they noticed three mistakes were in front of you when they did not? Maybe the computer failed. Maybe you checked the computer scan one omelet.
That's why it has to be
one column because you know about it. Well, maybe you're using it. Let's say you were using it. You were using it for learning purposes, and you came across three mistakes. But once you already correct one mistake or two mistakes, so that's not. Let's say it was Sefer Keses HaSefer. Okay, that's the famous Sefer. Who are the Keses HaSefer? Of Gansfried, the same one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Today you cannot be a Sefer unless you know Keses HaSefer. That's the Bechina. The Bechina you get for Ksav Kabbalah is on Mishnah Beruda and the Sefer Keses HaSefer. But the Sefer Keses HaSefer, Kosav Sheim Higiwa Sefer Torah Bein Tol Sachas Le'acheres Ein Tzarech La'agia Eskulo. You don't need to check the entire Sefer Torah like we just said with Shechein Noyhagim. Okay, V'hoisif B'lishkas HaSefer. That's one of the commentaries, one of the sections of Mishnah Sefer Keses HaSefer. Shehikshe al ze hagoyim bal pischet shuva benachla svi b'masha amu b'sugin awa gemara. Shebemokoyim sheboy motzu shnei kivarim u'pinu yoysam. Look at the gemara, it says you have a place where there are two graves, and you clear away the two graves. graves. So there is no longer tumah. And now I find a third grave. Mutar lifanoso, I'm allowed to clear away the third grave. Ein oim shehayos ulamaisa nimsa shloisha kvarim hareze kish chunas hakvaros shasa lifanoso. Now in total, how many graves have I discovered? Three. The rule is, if you find three graves in one area, that means that this is a cemetery, and a cemetery means they were buried here permanently. They were not buried here. You cannot be toiled. They were only meant to be buried temporarily. If you find the lone grave, you're allowed to clear the grave. You're allowed to move the body to a new location because you have a right to assume that the body was only buried temporarily. It was never meant to be buried here permanently. If you find two graves, you can make that same assumption. But once you find three graves, then we have to assume that the bodies were meant to be buried here permanently, because this, once upon a time, was a permanent cemetery. Even though, so the question over here is, why am I allowed to remove the third body, since over here Seif called Seif in the total picture of things we have here three graves, and three graves is a cemetery. Mikol Mokoyim, Oimeres HaGemara, Ilo Mitzao V'Tiaroes Eretz Yisrael. They looked for excuses. They looked for reasons to be makel, because the overriding theme of being Matar Eretz Yisrael, in order to clear an area that there should not be tumma, that is what is most important. Even though it's a weak reason, is a svara. There indeed is a svara to say that this is a cemetery, and that would not allow you to clear this area. But being that we had in this situation the situation where it was found in one grave at a time, or two graves in one grave, that's enough of an excuse to do something which otherwise we would not do in order to be matar the land. Hare, so here is the Gemara, here is an amazing question. So what do we learn over here? We have over here, we're comparing the situation of finding three graves to the situation of finding three mistakes in the Sefer Torah. And we're saying that when it comes to finding three graves, as long as we don't find the three graves in one shot, it's okay, we can remove one grave at a time. If we find three graves in one shot, there's nothing you can possibly do. But if we find one grave at a time, or two graves, and then one grave, then we are allowed to remove all three graves. And the only reason we can do so is because of this concept called Ila Motza V'Tiharoes Eretz Yisrael. It's due to exceptional circumstances. But when you're dealing with the Sefer Torah, you don't have the principle of Ila Motza V'Tiharoes Eretz Yisrael. So it would indicate, the Gemara, that we fall back on the default, and the default is, if you have three mistakes, you got a problem. If you have three mistakes, there's a chazaka that this Sefer Torah is not correct. And it should not make a difference if we find the mistakes one at a time or we find them in one shot. The bottom line is, when the day is over, there are three mistakes, and the Sefer Torah should be declared to be puzzle, or should be declared to be suspect, and we require correction. Hare shebeloi sevora zo nechshev hamokom kishchunas hakvaros. The af the al-af shebekev ashlish nimsol yachas shapiru asakvon ma'akoyim shemotzo. It doesn't matter. Mikach sheyesh lulmon linyin tahatos shenimsol b'sefer Torah liyachas shetukno tu'uyos acheros harehi mitzadefes v'tzoch livdek shubis as a sefer Torah. So that is the difficulty the lishkas ha-sefer has on the kesas ha-sefer. Why should this halacha be so? It's the beferish of Gemara and Mitzach the Nazir.
No, but that's the way we pass
them
today.
Okay, so what is the bottom line? So he tells us the halach lemaisa kach kosam gavah el yiraba shafilu nimsa bo sholosh tuyos besirugin shetiknu you correct them lefnei sheyimtsu bo hatos hacheres you find them one out you find them you correct one before you find the next. The el yiraba disagrees with the kesas ha-sofer, he paskins, and he disagrees with the tshuvas the pisrei tshuva and the shem rei yona nechshav kimuchzak bimute. Who else passes like this? So the bottom line is, the machlokes ha-poskim, the keses ha-sofer, with the pisrei tshuva b'shem l'arbinei yoina, you don't have to check the entire Sefer Torah. What?
Right now,
it doesn't have a cheskas kashrus. You found already three mistakes. It lost the cheskas kashrus.
No, you found two, you fixed it. Right. Now you found it.
Right.
So now it's what? Now you fixed it. So now what?
Oh, it's three mistakes.
No,
it only has two.
That is the machlekes. This is the point of disagreement. This is the machlekes. When the answer is yes or no. When it comes to the kvarim, we are using your svara that it's not a cemetery as long as you don't find. Oh, so there, why are we being so generous to make use of this svara? Only because ila matzav itiaros eretz yisrael. But generally, we don't want to use that. It's a svara, but it's a weak svara, and that's the machlekes. It's a, when it's a weak svara, you don't have something supporting the svara. Are we mekula machnir? We have a machlekes al poskim. We have the pisri tshuva on one side with the tshuva of Rashba with the Elia Rabba that disagrees.
What I meant to clarify.
When
the computer doesn't check three mistakes or the Torah, so the mean is, let's say, you didn't find it on one.
So the thing is,
the computer checks. Now
the computer checks. The letter can show you if there is more or less.
The letter is checked by press. You got to see what
it says. Something about
the computer.
You know what was a good site
back then?
Okay, I'll tell you a piece of trivia. I was listening to a lecture from the rabbi, a lecture given by, there are two rabbis in the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. Rabbi Soloveitchik is the senior rabbi, and then there's another rabbi who's a real Sephardi. They took two rabbis because Rabbi Soloveitchik doesn't have the background. So they took another rabbi who was a real Sephardi. He retired. He's the rabbi emeritus. He retired. He's the rabbi. There's someone else, a young fellow, who's a very, very tall Talmud Chacham. So he was giving a lecture. He was talking about the Aleppo Codex. That was the topic of the lecture, was the Aleppo Codex. Fascinating lecture. He comes from Aleppo. His family, his grandparents lived in Aleppo. So he has some connection to Aleppo, and he spoke very, very interesting ideas about the Aleppo Codex. But in the time of the conversation, he was talking about accuracy and Masura. So he says that in the constitution of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, which is one of the oldest synagogues in the United States, there in the charter, it is the duty of the Chazan to check the Sefer Torah before they lay.
Every single week.
This is before there's a computer. They have an impressive collection of Sefer Torah, old Sefer Torah. They have to check it. He has to check it. And if they find a mistake, then the Chazan is fined five... What?
Not when he was checking. When they laid on Shabbos.
If they discover on Shabbos when they laid a mistake, that means that the Chazan did not do a job of checking the Sefer Torah. So the charter that was written, how many years? 200 years ago?
1600
something. Even more than 200 years ago. Yeah. 300 years ago. When the charter, again, Lord, this is shocking. The charter says in the charter that if the Chazan does not check, or the Chazan checks and does not do a good job checking, they find this mistake on Shabbos, the Chazan has to pay as a knas, $5 to the Beit HaKnesset. $5. Now go back. I challenge you, go back. Find when the charter was written, and figure out the equivalent, what $5 is worth. It's probably worth today at least $1,000. Probably even more.
More?
How much?
$24.
A whole line, and you get for $24.
That was before. Find out. A mayor will do the research. How much is $5 worth at the time when the charter of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue was written? Find out when the Spanish Portuguese synagogue was founded. Find the year in Amsterdam. Find the year, and figure out what the equivalent of $5, whenever it started, whenever they wrote the charter. So the Chazan. So he said, the rabbi said, I don't know his name, the rabbi said that a few weeks ago, I don't know when the shir was delivered. Maybe the shir was delivered less than a year ago. Then it hasn't been a rabbi there more than a year, or more 2 years. It says the rabbi more than 2 years. When he gave the shir, when they 1 week, so no one checks. No one there bothers to check anymore. Everything, what it says there are a lot of things that it says there in the charter. A lot of very funny things when it says the charter that no one there really takes seriously anymore. But the charter is the charter. But they actually lane from the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, or Shabbos during the week, and they found there a spelling mistake. So he said, I was guilty. So I paid $5. I had to pay the $5. I had to follow what it says in the charter to pay the shul $5. It's a good thing they didn't revise the $5 to modern day currency. They would have to probably pay more than his whole salary. But that's an interesting piece.
When the shadow talks about a toast, does it mean a spelling mistake or means a crack in a letter?
I guess it's the same thing. It depends. Once there are cracks in the letters, so there's a ray so that the ink already is fading. So Lechayra does not make a difference. All right, so Tzach HaKol, we learn here, I think, four interesting ideas. To review, the first idea is, when does a guy become bar mitzvah? 20 years old, 13 years old, when his intelligence, Durham is an exception. The second idea, a worker is not allowed to fast. A worker is not allowed to do moonlighting because you are cheating your employer unless you are a contractor. Only when it comes. Third halacha we learned is tefusaso, reinterment. Is there? Do you take with the dead body a clump of earth that surrounds the body? Machlekes apayskev. Rabbi Moshe says no. You don't have to do it. The Chazanish says you do. Is the Chazanish only talking about Eretz Yisrael? What would the Chazanish say about Chutzyard? It's not really clear from what he wrote over here what the Chazanish says. And the fourth halacha is this machlekes. If you find three mistakes in the Sefer Torah and three different after each one has been repaired, is it a chazaka? Is it not a chazaka? The Gemara here talks about such a situation, but the Gemara here has an unusual reason why things will be different because of Ila Motza V'Tiaros Eretz Yisrael. Alright, we will take a short break. And